Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to This Week in UNC Baseball with head coach Scott Forbes. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Matt Clements. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt as always. And Coach Forbes, I got to ask you straight out the gate.
Yes, sir.
What are you feeding them boys? They went nuts at the plate. I mean.
Man, they did, didn't they?
That was some Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa type home run derby going on in Winston-Salem. Did it surprise you? And I know your answer, but yeah. Be honest. Did it?
Yeah, four, I mean.
14 home runs, that's a lot.
That's a lot. And anytime you hit that much. You know, that many home runs, it surprises anybody. I think we all have felt really good about our offense and our power potential. And we have hit home runs, but the Bosch plays pretty straight up. You know, Wake Forest, it plays small. The wind was blowing out. However, you know, our guys hit a lot of those balls. You look at the track, man, you look at the distance. And obviously, you know, there was some wind that picked them up, but they were hit hard. The exit velocity was really good. I feel like our guys are continuing to get stronger and hitting is contagious. But I feel like we have power throughout the order. And, you know, it takes a while sometimes in this game. You know, you really don't start hitting your stride, hopefully, really, until later in the season. But you got to sustain these tough games early. But the more you play, the more the hitters should catch up. So, you know, they impressed me. And I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised from the standpoint of the quality at bats that they had because they're talented kids.
Yeah, I mean, and just watching it, I mean, people talk about that park as a small park, but there were no doubters, most of those. And so it was an impressive display. How, when you've got a team that's got that power through the order, and I want to ask you about ordering the lineup at some point, but from a pitcher perspective, how calming is that, if that's a thing, knowing that, hey, I could make a mistake and give up a home run, but I've got these guys that are going to get a chance to hit again. Does it take pressure off your pitchers? Is that a thing when you've got an offense that powerful?
I think it does. You know, I think the best thing for our pitchers was our fall and our preseason, knowing that they can get, you know, this is a really good lineup. It makes them better having to face the depth. So we had two teams out there this fall in the preseason that were hard to get through because we have some very talented players as well. Right now that aren't in the lineup. So, you know, when pitchers know that your team's got a good chance to score, obviously that's a good thing. You know, you look at those teams where, you know, 06, 07, 08, those teams were going to score. You know, that lineup was, they were deep. And at times you had a guy like a Fedorovich or a Benji Johnson hitting the 8 or 9 hole. Of course it does. Knowing that if I do happen to give up something because I'm attacking the strike zone, we have a good chance to get it back. And it's easier to pitch with a lead. I mean, you know, that's facts are the facts.
Coach Forbes, can you talk about how the Diamond Heels prepared for Wake Forest? I mean, for instance, nobody's touched Burns like the Diamond Heels did on Friday. He did strike out 14, but gave up 6 runs. So were y'all able to put him into the machine, have everybody take hacks at his stuff? Or
you know, we went into it not necessarily saying we were going to try to beat Chase Burns, but we were going to try to win the game. We knew that we was – excuse me. The pollen got me. We knew we would strike out some because his stuff is that good, but we also felt like if we got our ace swing off, we weren't in defense mode. We were in the attack mode. Yeah, we would swing and miss some, but we also felt like we could hit some balls hard and hit some doubles and some home runs. And Casey Cook, you know, set the tone right there in the first inning, a 3-2 count. Then that pitch was 99 miles an hour. He was on time. He hit a home run. And then your teammates see, like, okay, it's doable. And then we had some other swings of the bat, obviously, in that game. But you prepare for every pitcher, every starting pitcher, you know, now, even like you did back then, but now you do have the eye pitch. You can put them in there. You can try to see it the best you can. You try to make it a little bit harder, but it's hard to make it harder than it was against that guy. I mean, you're talking every pitch, 97 to 100 with command of his off speed. But the compete factor is the key. You know, you have to get in there, and we watch a lot of video too of major leaguers. They're the best, and you see how relaxed they are. You see how hard hitting is, and you see how good these major league pitchers are. The key is to know that they make mistakes too, and you got the bat, and you're on offense for a reason.
Can you talk about what you saw from your starting pitchers at Wake Forest? You know, all three of them, you know, kept the team in the game and, you know, competed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Folger set the tone. They were busting his chops. You know, he got us those 5 innings because he hadn't done that in the last couple of times. And I thought he competed really, really well. And again, you know, from the coaching standpoint, we got the sweep, which is awesome. But defensively, we've got some things that we can definitely do better that I felt like would have made it a little bit easier on us. And we'll work on that this week. But Folger threw great. DeCaro, you know, was really good and competitive. Spray gave up a couple home runs, but he was in the zone. His velocity continues to climb, which is going to make his changeup even better. He had some 90s in there, maybe even a 91. So I thought they all really competed. You know, you're not going to be perfect in this league. And for us, every team's different. If you can give us, you know, close to 5 innings with the strength of our bullpen, we feel like we've got a really good chance. And those guys did that.
Coach, you mentioned the things on defense you can do better. Let's talk about that a little bit. You had, I think, 6 errors on the weekend. That Friday night game, I'd be interested to know what you're saying in the dugout when guys are making errors that prolong the game. But how do you address the errors and deal with the errors and have consequences, quote-unquote, for the errors, but not mess up team chemistry and team synergy there? Because you've got – I mean, you're 25-4, let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a start.
Yeah, I mean, there are no consequences. You know, it's just like, okay, we have to practice what we preach and being process-oriented, and yesterday's over. Obviously, we're going to work on it, and that's where the coaching comes in. That's why we're called coaches. You know, we got to get these guys out there and take a look at video and see what their feet's like on those balls. The turf normally is easier to field a ground ball. Wake's tough. Turf is a little bit challenging because it's a little bit thinner and the ball bounces late a little bit. But you know, we're big on if something happens like that in a game, it's gone quick, because chances are pretty good you're going to get another ball and you're going to have to make another big play. And you look at yesterday, it's a great example. To answer your question, though, on the first game, obviously, you know, there wasn't much I could say from the standpoint of routine ground ball to Colby, routine ground ball to AMAD. Colby has made some errors. AMAD hadn't made hardly any. And you're just like, and then we walk in some guys. You're like, okay, maybe we can still find a way and and Dalton can reach back and hold this lead. And then afterwards, you know, telling the guys, keeping their confidence up, making sure they understand that, hey, it's gone. Believe in what we're talking about. Flush it completely and make the next play. Because you're only as good as your next play. That's the big thing. But there are some things we'll work on to try to improve that. And then yesterday, you know, you get a routine double play. I just told Colby, I said, you know, you're going to get another tough play. And sure enough, in the ninth, Seaver King rolls over a split from Poston, and he comes slow roll, you know, comes hard and makes a charging play and gets it to Parks Harbor in time. And that's a big out, because even though we're up by four in the ninth, that park, you know, it plays like you're up by one. So you don't want any base runners. So, you know, I'm still extremely confident in those guys, and we'll work hard these next couple of days. And when we get up Virginia, up at Virginia on Wednesday, tons of ground balls, tons of work, and try to clean that part up a little bit.
Is it difficult? And I don't want to belabor the point, but it's interesting. Is it difficult knowing that somebody can do it? It's kind of like the yips, maybe, in golf.
Yeah, you know, the throwing part would be, you know, sometimes concerns you the most as a coach. When you miss a ground ball, a lot of times it can be feet. You're not, you know, you're letting the ball play you instead of playing through the ball. I don't see many fielding slumps with a glove. You know, it's usually an adjustment that you have to make when technique. And again, that's where the coaching comes in. More ground balls, certain types of ground balls. It's kind of like Parks Harbor early on at first base, really having trouble going to his right and making that feed to the pitcher. So you're spending more time on the first step. How are we going to correct that? Try to get it underhand. It's like Folger Boas on a bunt, throwing the ball short, you know, getting more reps, knowing what type of arm action you need to throw that ball with, more like a dart instead of a full arm action. So the good thing for me with our infielders is it's been a couple of times where they let the ball play them instead of them being the aggressor. You know, you have to be aggressive on defense. You have to have a routine. And a lot of people forget, you know, what you fight in a situation like that is you have a tendency to talk about it. How can you not make that play? I mean, you know, it was a routine double play with their catcher yesterday that would have pretty much put the game away. But I've learned in all these years coaching, you got to move on fast or your team's not going to move on fast, even though it's eating you alive. And then hopefully, you know, we can recover. But, you know, I think repetition, it works, and more ground balls. And we'll get out there with Colby and A-Man, all of our infielders, and continue to try to get them better.
When you look at that, flip it to the batting order. You sort of had some changes on Sunday, moved Vance down, moved Madera up. How difficult is it, or how easy is it to make switches like we talked about when you're going well? I mean, obviously it worked yesterday. Yeah. You had six home runs. What's the thought process? And then is it difficult to make changes like that sort of midstream, mid-series?
It used to be for, you know, the longer you coach, for me at least, it's not difficult at all. You know, when the game's over, for me, that game's over. I move on. I start looking at the next game. And what's going to give us the best chance to win that next game, you know? And even if you've won 20 in a row, people are like, oh, you know, why would you change the lineup? Well, if you feel like changing the lineup, you know, is going to give us the best chance to win that game, that's what you need to do. Because what you don't want to do, you have to have the kahunas to do it, because obviously everybody's going to talk about it. But you know deep down, like, okay, the matchup's better against this starting pitcher for AMAD than it is Gavin to start the game. And we want to put some pressure on them because we've already won two games. We got to get Harbor moved up, you know, because he's the hitter. I mean, we know he's one of our best pure hitters, and we don't want him to only come around that many times hitting in the six hole. Take a little bit of pressure off Vance, but you also, there are other things that go in those decisions. You can distribute the speed a little bit more. You know, so it's part of it, but it's the part that I enjoy. And when you coach long enough, you don't care what other people say. You want to do what's best for the team, and you just, it's like a suicide squeeze, right? You're either the hero or the goat, and you got to be able to live with that.
Well, Coach Forbes, it's a great time to be a baseball fan right now. Opening days come around, and the Tar Heels have, you know, Tar Heels in the pros and all over the minors with Daniel Bard, J.B. Bukauskas, Michael Bush, Zach Gallen, Ryder Ryan, and Jacob Stallings and Trent Thornton all breaking with their teams. Who do you think will be the next Diamond Heel alumni to make a debut in the MLB this season?
Man, that's a great question. Debut? Mm-hmm. No, I think Cooper Criswell, he's in AAA. He'll be back up in there, but it's not his debut. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of guys that are really doing well. That's a put me on the spot question. So I don't want to crown one of our former guys over the others, because I think we got four or five that have a shot to maybe get a call up this year. And we got to see, you know, Mac won't get called up this year, I don't think, Mac Horvath, but it was cool. He had an off day. He drove to Wake Forest yesterday, sat right behind home plate, and came on the field and visited with our guys. So, you know, I check every morning and check where everybody is. And, you know, I'll kind of take a shot of the dark here. I could see a Kyle Datras finding his way, getting a call up, and that would be really cool.
Yeah, I personally thought Tyler Baum was my preference candidate. So
yeah, he could do it too. I hope I can be there. I need to call those guys and tell them they need to wait and make the debut when the season's over. You think they can do that?
I doubt it. I think if they get the call, they're going. On a similar note, you know, how do you handle your contact during the season and before the season with family advisors and MLB scouts while the season's going on, and how do you handle all of that communication?
Oh, shoot. You know, we want to help our guys. The MLB scouts are welcome here all the time. Coach Howell was working for the White Sox. He handles all the emails out and the communication with our scouts. The other family advisors, I'm not communicating with family advisors. You know, we don't need to talk about that one. You know, I'm very protective of our players. I want them to have a great experience. I want them to enjoy playing the game. I want to take as much pressure off of them as I can. I want the Bosch to be a place where they come and it's the highlight of their day. So, you know, the agent size, the advisors and all that stuff, I just remind our guys, you know, keep your circle small. Make sure you have the right people in your ear and focus on the team and the team's success, and all that stuff will play itself out. But we have great relationships with scouts, general managers, scouting directors, because we want every player on our team to have an opportunity to play professional baseball for sure. So we try to get them in here as much as they want, get them in here early for BP, ground balls, all that type of stuff.
Talking with head coach Scott Forbes of the 25-4 Tar Heels. Scott, when you look at – you've got Wake Forest. It was a big road series. You sweep them. Now you've got Virginia up there starting on Thursday going to Saturday. I assume the pitching rotation will stay the same, but how does not having a midweek game sort of alter the structure of the week and of how you get guys work, bullpen guys work, yeah, and all that?
Yeah, the one negative this week, there's only one negative to not having that midweek game, and that is, you know, we want some guys that we – to pitch. But when you have that short turnaround, we were the only ACC team, I believe, that didn't play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If we'd have played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'd have scheduled a Tuesday game. But we also crammed all these games in early because we played a lot more games than a lot of people because we can't play during exams. So when I looked at the schedule and they moved to the Virginia game, I knew we'd have to get right back on the road. Even if we're playing at home, maybe we play Tuesday. But if we play that Tuesday night game, we got to leave Wednesday. Guys got a lot on them academically. So there's no doubt in my mind we did the right thing there. But how we handle that is Coach Gaines and I sat down this morning. He knows who needs to pitch. So we'll get those guys out there, and they'll face some hitters that don't have as many at-bats as the guys that have been playing every day. We'll do live at-bats. We won't put defenders out there and let the pitchers get their work in, let our hitters face them. And we'll just keep trying to get better. You know, I think it's a good time. It's a good week for us to maybe not have a midweek game to recover, you know, our bodies, being in a hotel, being, you know, on the bus a little bit, and then turning around and doing it again. But Tommy here, man, we just try to do the same thing, you know, every single day and get up the day and have a plan, and, you know, we'll lift, you know, we'll stretch, we'll do some light stuff today. And then, you know, we got that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so we'll be to recover on Sunday before we turn around again and get on a bus and go to Charlotte to play South Carolina.
What is when you get a series like that against Wake Forest and you have that success, you know, you hear basketball coaches, it's 24-hour rule and all that. How's it work for Scott Forbes? I mean, how much do you personally enjoy seeing these young men play like you know they can play, compete, and win from your standpoint personally, and how long do you actually enjoy it?
I mean, I'm pretty bad about it, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody loves to win, but my mind's always going to the next game. It's kind of how I've always been natured. I think it's a blessing and a curse sometimes. But that's what it should be, in my opinion, as a coach. You know, that's my job. I enjoy seeing the guys gain confidence, you know, going there and understand that they can beat anybody and then to go do it on the road because it's harder to do it on the road. But, you know, we're still not barely at the midway point. So that's my job to explain to the guys, like, we hadn't done anything. We just haven't. And I talked to them yesterday about 2022. You know, things can flip like that. And what we're trying to do every single day, you know, is just try to get better today and get better tomorrow. And then next day, we'll play Virginia. But of course, you know, the bus ride's always fun with those guys, those young guys. But I explain to them, you know, enjoy it. But for us, for me, I tell them after you take the shower, it's over. You know, it's just like a loss. So you got to treat it the same. You know, if you get swept on the road, which has happened to us, and it's happened to us on teams that have made it to Omaha, you got to move on and you got to get better. And it's like Nick Saban says, you got that rat poison. You got the good kind and the bad kind. Sometimes people can give you the good rat poison because they can tell you ain't no good and you're not going to win. And then all of a sudden they give you the bad rat poison where they start telling you how good you are and that you're going to win. So that's where the coaching comes in and keeping these guys focused to get better. It's about us, really. It's not about the other team.
Hey, Coach Ford, certainly it seems like the Diamond Heels fans came out to support the crowd in Winston-Salem. Can you talk about, you know, how important it is to have fans go on the road and get a chance to snap up tickets and get behind the Diamond Heels?
Yeah, I mean, it's vital. You know, fan support, the right kind of fan support it helps you win. You know, and the crowd and the energy, there's no doubt about it. I thought it was awesome. It was a packed house, had a ton of Tar Heel fans there. I thought Wake Forest did a really good job with their game day operations and, you know, created that good atmosphere for both teams. And that's what it should be about. I mean, college baseball right now is booming. The crowds are growing. And, you know, with the history and the tradition of Carolina baseball, you know, I think we should pack this place every single night and that's what we want to do.
And what is the one area of concern that you have right now for the Diamond Heels, the number one thing that you think that you need to work on for the Diamond Heels to achieve their goals?
Oh, man. There's a lot of things we need to work on. So it's not one primary area of concern. But it's really those little things in the game of baseball that don't show up in the box score. You know, getting a bunt down. We got a lucky read yesterday, base running with the ball in the six hole, making that right base running read, understanding that you're not always going to get lucky and be safe at third base, not giving extra outs. Somebody wants to lay down a bunt like they did on Friday, getting that out. And continuing to focus on what we preach, and that's the pitching and the defensive side of the ball, because everybody loves what we did, all those home runs, all that exit velocity. But again, you got to win some games 3-1 and make phenomenal plays to win a national championship. You can't do it in any sport. You cannot not play defense at a high level. So that's the main thing. I wouldn't say it's concerning because I like the kids that we have and I know what their capabilities are. And I think we can play a very high level of defense, but for us to reach our goals, we got to play a higher level altogether defensively.
One more question for you, Coach. It's always fun to talk to you. I asked you last week how much noise or did you hear on the outside, like social media and all that. We discussed that, but how much do you hear as a head coach from the stands? I've always curious about that. And I know you,
you know, I mean, I'm usually here. The coaches, like, they know how I am. It's, you know, I'm pretty dang locked in. So sometimes it's hard to even have a conversation with me. But when you make a trip sometimes, or you're going to make a pitching change, our dugout, you don't even hear the music when it's really loud as much. You don't hear as much in the dugout. But as soon as I start walking out to make a change, you'll hear all kinds of things, you know. And you're a human being, so they're good. Some of them are bad. But the older I get, when they're bad things, like I'm literally in my mind, I can't tell you out loud what I'm thinking in my mind, probably, but it's almost comical, you know, because you're like, it's one thing if it's a 16, 17, 18, not even, you know, younger, but these are grown people saying some of these things. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's just sad. And you just laugh it off and you try not to even let it get to you, you know, but you hear some stuff for sure. You hear even more on the road. And that's when you really laugh because, you know, that's just part of it. That's what I love about being on the road. You know, you're playing somewhere and you're hated because you're Carolina. And there are all kinds of things that you hear. And you just walk back in and you're trying to just kill them with kindness.
It's hilarious. A couple things on that regard. First of all, DJ Burns last night against Duke, the cameras caught him yelling back at a Duke fan saying, "Your season's over." You know, just like, yeah, go home.
Yeah, you want to try to, you know, it's hard as a player. I didn't play here. I mean, these guys are so good. But you're competitive as a player. We're all competitive. And that's hard not to, you know, I explained to our, you know, we talk about humility all the time and arrogance. And, you know, I do not enjoy being around arrogant people. I never have been. And that's how I was raised. But it's hard sometimes when you're getting worn out. And then all of a sudden you're about to win the game and you want to wave bye-bye and you want to – but I explained to our guys, hey, look, you know, you watch the best of the best that did it for such a long time, the Mariano Rivera's, the Derek, whoever it is. You just don't see a lot of that. And I think if you do that over and over and over, you got a big old piece of humble pie coming. It's just a matter of when, because karma will get you as well. So I just try to you got to rein these guys in. You want to be emotional. You want them to compete, and we let our guys do that, but we don't need any of that stuff, you know, waving bye-bye. And it's hard, though, when you're getting worn out. And I'm sure DJ was getting worn out.
Oh, yeah. They were giving it to him, and he just – I mean, he's just an awesome kid. But and then, you know, we talked about it, and I'm going to let you go, but we talked about it early in the season when pitchers make a big strikeout and they want to tell your guy what they think of him. Well, Wake Forest guys made big pitches. And they said it to their dugout, or they were walking off. So it's a different dynamic. But you're right. I don't see how some of y'all keep your mouth shut when some of the stuff you hear. It's funny. Sad's a good word for it. But
yeah,
being able to bite that tongue is an amazing thing, Scott.
Yeah, it is. That's self-control. It and poise, we talk about it as a team. You got to work on it. But the ones that can have it, they end up being the best. It doesn't mean they don't pump their fists. It doesn't mean they don't get excited. But, you know, like Dean Smith said, a lion never roars after a kill. You know, you got to act like you've done it before and you can play the game the right way. And it's like, you know, you hit all these home runs and you got explosions and you got celebrations. And I'm like, you know, I told our guys, I was like, you know, when you hit a home run, how about just running around the bases and getting the dugout and giving everybody five because you expected to do it. Like that's the most confident way to celebrate a home run, in my opinion. So, you know, but it's out there. There's some interesting things for sure. And we'll have to deal with them because other teams are going to do that. And we'll just focus on us. How about that?
Yep. And Virginia will be a fun place to play, I'm sure.
Good team. Another great challenge for us.
Yep. And so same pitching rotation, Boaz, DeCaro, Sprague.
Yeah, I haven't sat down with Coach Gaines, but none of them were taxed. That was the other thing that we were hoping to do is not have them throw 110, 120 this week. We kind of strategically said, okay, if we can get in that 90 range and then use our bullpen strategically, we're going to have 3 days rest for our bullpen and then 1 day less rest for our arms. So that worked out well for us. We were still able to win. So I'm pretty sure that we'll stay with that. We'll go Boaz Thursday, DeCaro Saturday, and Sprague. No, DeCaro Friday, Sprague on Saturday.
Yeah, well, safe travels to Virginia and Charlottesville. Matt, always a pleasure to do this with you, and again, always fun to talk to you, Coach Forbes. Sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity. Safe travels to Charlottesville.
Y'all have a great week. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.